Hello, pals o' mine. I attended a memorial service this past weekend of a young man who died of a heart attack while playing basketball, which he did every weekend. He left behind a young family. It's very sad. He was a huge fan of our local NBA team, and so his friends contacted the team of the passing of one of their biggest fans and asked if maybe they would wear a green ribbon at the next game. Green is the color of his high school alma mater. Well, during the televised game, the coaches are seen wearing green ribbons, and the announcer explains that they are worn in honor of one of their fans, who also was a coach and a great guy who will truly be missed. It was so cool, one, that the coaches wore the ribbons, and second, that his friends did that for him, that show of love. Now, I want you to look at your circle of friends, and if there are some in there that you believe would do that for you or you would do that for them, you should acknowledge it while they're still around. Well, the holidays falling in the middle of the week, I actually had time to get some reading in. I read The Daedalus Incident and The Impersonator. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correct. Daedalus is D-A-E-D-A-L-U-S. The Daedalus Incident by Michael J. Martinez, which is a genre-bending book. I love it when authors blend genres together. It's so creative. You know, like sci-fi with historical fiction, as in this book. Terry Pratchett, of course, has done it with the Discworld series. In this particular book, the author switches back and forth from 1779 to 2519. Now, because one of the genres is sci-fi, the ship crew of 1779 are actually traveling through space. And in 2519, the parallel story occurs on Mars. I like the concept, and I enjoyed some of it, but it was so long, and I became bored and just wanted it to end already. It was just too long. Martinez could have told the story in half the time and with a bigger impact, so I was disappointed. The other book, The Impersonator by Mary Miley, won the first crime novel award by the Mystery Writers of America, and I could see why. I really enjoyed it. It takes place in the 1920s when a vaudeville performer is persuaded to impersonate a missing heiress. I've read other novels where the authors have tried too hard to incorporate historical facts into them, and the result can be a clunky read. This one, however, was seamless. According to the author's bio on the jacket cover, she taught American history and has published extensively in the areas of history and travel. So I love the little historical details she included. And there's a little twist at the end, which I appreciated. That's The Impersonator by Mary Miley. Iceland is reaching out, so if that's on your list of places to visit, Reykjavik is holding volunteer photography workshops in March and April. And a town east of Reykjavik, which I can't even begin to pronounce, is looking for forestry and gardening volunteers. And since Iceland is among the top 5 countries of longest life expectancy, maybe you can pick up a few tips. You can visit cadip.org/volunteer-in-iceland.htm. NFL playoffs continue this weekend, as you may have heard. So I talked to former NFL and NFL Europa player Terena Singleton for a little insight. I met with him at the gym he now owns, Innovative Strength and Conditioning. The gym is located in a large warehouse space in an industrial complex. As I drove down the long parking area alongside the various warehouse suites, I followed a couple of junior high school aged boys pulling or dragging, depending on your perspective, 2 heavy weights. One was so exhausted, he didn't even notice there was a car behind him as he stopped and just left the weights. I honked He turned around. I pointed to the weights and gestured to move them out of the way. The expression on the poor kid's face, like, I have to move them some more. Anyway, here's my conversation with Singleton outside of his gym. So I love the stories behind tats. So you got to tell me the story behind your tats.
Oh, I have so many tattoos. It's every one of them has a deep meaning. You know, whatever I might be going through in my life, you know, I'll get a tattoo to kind of help remember those days.
What's the big one front and center besides your name, obviously?
Oh, the angel. The other one's an angel. That's just an angel that protects me, so to speak. It's an angel of me, actually. So it's an angel of me with wings. Yeah.
Nice. Leading yourself.
Leading myself, absolutely.
Which is kind of what we're doing anyway, right?
Absolutely.
Sometimes we're little helpers, but it's really us taking that step, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, exactly.
So how did you segue into the big-time NFL from State College?
Just all my life I've been an athlete, football player. Football has always been my sport. Always been a hard worker. I had great coaches that always pushed me. I learned a lot of my life experiences on the football field and in the gym, and you know that got me to a Division I college, which got me to the NFL.
You know? So you had good coaches. That's really a big part of it, I would imagine.
Yeah, the coaches were huge. You know, they just taught me so much. They taught me so much that it wasn't even about me per se, but about the team. They showed me that aspect of life. So even, you know, everything I do on the field and inside the gym kind of reflects back to what I'm doing in life in general. You know, being here, owning this gym, running the gym is not about me, but it's about my clientele and the people that I'm serving.
Now, did you have brothers or siblings, yes. Other guys that played football as well or other sports?
No, yeah. I have three sisters and three brothers. I'm the baby, and they've all played sports. My brothers, one of them played basketball, one of them ran track, but none of them took it to the distance I went. You know, none of them even went to college with it. They all, you know, had started their life early at 18, 19, having kids young, things of that such. So having to get a job instead of actually take the college route and all that good stuff. So I was one of the fortunate ones.
But you still mess around, maybe flag football and get together
absolutely,
for holidays
absolutely.
And events?
Yeah,
and
flag football is something that I've always played. Even to this day, I play flag football on a flag football team. Yeah, football is just my passion. It's still in me. It's still
every
in
Thanksgiving,
me.
You got a little
every
game going?
Get a game going, and then I'm laid up for a couple of days.
You know? Nice.
Yeah.
They feel better. See, Mr. Big Shot.
Right. But it was fun while it lasted. You know, we got to get our good game in. I played like I was 20 years old again, you know, after the game.
In the moment.
Like I'm 40. Yeah, in the moment.
So how did you get into the NFL? Were the scouts come looking for you? Or?
Yes. So that's pretty much how it is. When you're in college, you know, you have NFL scouts that, you know, you get your name out there, and you have NFL scouts that hear about you, see you, you're putting up numbers. So you get put up in the Mel Kiper Review and things of that such. And if you're a good enough athlete, scouts will come out, and actually they'll have a scout day for every senior. And from there, they'll, you know, if they like what they see, they'll hold a scout combine NFL combine at your college. And then if they like what they see, they'll, you know, pick you up or whatever.
How long did it take you to get drafted?
It's only a once a year type of deal. So, you know, your senior year is when your junior year is when everything happens. If you're a junior and you declare to come out as a junior, then you obviously have to get an agent. An agent will get the scouts, letting the scouts know that you're available. Otherwise, you wait till your senior year and you get picked. For me, I waited till my senior year. So, yeah, I waited my senior year, and that's when I went through everything.
Now, how did you get your agent? Through your coaches? Or?
You know, not through my coaches. Agents, you know, their job is to seek out athletes that have potential to go to the NFL. And then they contact you, and
so everybody came to you. You didn't have to do anything.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is. You know, if you have the talent, they're going to go find you, and they're going to make themselves present. Yeah, if you don't have it, no matter how hard you look, you're just not going to find it. You know, but yeah, the NFL scouts or the NFL scouts, yeah, they'll come to you. The agents, they come to you. You know, I wouldn't even know where to begin to look for an agent, especially at that time.
So who did you end up playing with?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 1996.
So Tony, do you remember the segue for you from going from college to...
Yeah, you know,
it was... That first day of training, I mean, what was...
The first day of training, you know, it was the build-up to that day that was the most intense.
Okay.
The day on the field was just another day in practice, you know. It wasn't any more... It was a lot faster than college, but it wasn't more intense than college. The speed of the game, you know, knowing the plays, knowing what you're supposed to do, that was intense, you know, because the NFL, they don't really have a lot of time for mess-ups. So it's like if you're not doing what you're supposed to do immediately, they'll pull you and put somebody else in. So somebody's going to get it right. So, you know, learning the plays, learning what you're supposed to do was a lot more intense than actually being on the field and playing with the NFL guys, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So you were there for how long?
I was with the Bucks for 1 year and then sent overseas to NFL Europe.
May it rest in peace.
Yeah.
Have a moment of silence for a...
Yeah.
So what was that like? I mean, it was a great attempt, I guess. Her intentions were good, but...
I don't know why it folded. You know, I honestly thought that the NFL Europe was a good league for those that weren't quite ready for the NFL or that didn't have a chance in the NFL. I thought that was a good secondary league to play in. Myself, I don't understand why I folded, but...
Well, you must have heard rumors or had some inkling.
Well, you know, I've heard rumors ever since I was there playing that they were going to fold next year. Every year they said next year it's going to fold, and it never did. It just recently folded, you know, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, if that long. So it went on for a long time, and every year there was always a rumor that it's going to fold for whatever reason, and it never would. It would just keep going strong.
But you must have heard, it must have been financial, lack of interest. I mean, there's always
It was lack of interest, but I didn't see that, you know, because we did, in Europe, there were a lot of football fans, you know, their number one sport, obviously, is soccer, but, right. You know, they still...
The actual football.
Actual football, yeah, but, you know, we still got good turnouts, you know. It definitely helped us, you know, it developed us a lot better, so, you know, I didn't get it, you know, but, you know, I'm not an owner. I'm not deep into it like that, like them. I'm not one of the GMs or anything like that, so I wouldn't have any real knowledge on the real reason why it's folded.
So I find it kind of funny, not humorous funny, but ridiculous funny, about this whole news alert that playing football causes concussions and brain injuries.
You know, I'm on the fence with that only because... You know, I've been playing football ever since I was 7 years old. You know, played football in Texas, you know, college, NFL. And, you know, you do get hit hard, but we always shake it off. You know, it happens, of course. You know, the concussions happens, the death happens. You know, people, you know, you get injured for sure. But I just I don't understand how it's gone the distance that it's gone now, especially when you have MMA out there. You know, I love MMA. I think that's a great sport. But these guys are really, you know, I mean, if you can pound each other to death, pound each other the way they do, and then you say NFL football, you get concussions, so you can't hit this, you can't do that, just really doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, I don't think it's that so much. I think that they refuse to acknowledge that it was a factor. That's what was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Of course it's a factor. I mean, how could it not be a factor? That doesn't mean that every time you go out there, it's going to happen, but you go into the game serious injuries can occur.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we all know, and yeah, you're right, you're exactly right. You know, we all know going in that anything can happen. You can come out with a broken leg, broken arm, you know, concussion, all those things can happen, but, you know, you play, you train to protect yourself. You train to be stronger. You practice to be a little bit smarter, you know.
You have kids that play football?
Actually, my oldest son plays the real football, soccer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he plays soccer in Italy, yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. How old is he?
He's 18.
18.
18, yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good experience.
It is. You know, he's having the time of his life right now.
I'll bet he is.
Yeah. Europe, 18, playing professional.
I know. So, well, and off the field, too. He's
After,
a lot of games he's playing.
Yeah, he's playing games like crazy, but, you know, he's young, so he's got energy all day. He can go all day.
And the girls are
absolutely
just happen to be hanging around.
Just happen to be there, you know, yeah. Casually hanging out.
So now when NFL Europa ended, is that kind of when your professional football career kind of, or no, were you still hanging in there for a while?
No,
or?
Yeah, when the NFL Europe, it was still going strong when I was done, okay. Which I only had 2 years there. Then once I was done with that, you know, I tried to get on with a few other NFL teams, and it just didn't happen. You know, just little minor injuries that just would keep me away. So my career ended before NFL Europe did.
So that's kind of a tough segue for a lot of pro sports guys when they have to leave, when that's your whole life.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you do now?
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's so true. You know, that's kind of where I was at. You know, when I finally realized and was ready to admit that my football days were over, it was like, well, what do? You know, I went to college, got a degree in sociology. When it came down to it, it was like, okay, well, let's go do some counseling. Let's get in the school district and do some work. And my passion wasn't there, you know. I thought about coaching high school football, and that was not, you know, I thought that would be my passion for sure since I was a football player, but that just didn't work out for me. It was hard for me to find what I truly wanted to do, you know, because I never thought that far. I always thought that football was what I was going to do, and when I was done with that, I would be retired and really wouldn't have to worry about having to do something, wouldn't have to worry about work. So it was a tough journey for me just because I didn't know which direction I wanted to go. You know, I wasn't passionate about anything but football. So I got into the personal training business. When would that be? Maybe 2001. And I just started training friends, you know, friends, families, friends of families and things of that such. And every job I've ever had, whether it be in sales, whether it be working in a school, but I always found myself coming back to training, whether it's training some friends or whatever the case, I just always found myself training. People always ask me, what am I doing? How did I get that size? How can they build this? How can they build that? And so one day I just decided, you know, let's give this personal training thing a shot. Let's just see where it takes me. And I found great joy in teaching people how to build muscle, how to move their bodies. You know, I kind of felt like I was on the field, but not on the field, if that makes sense. And it was weird because you're in the gym working out, you're not on the field, but it still had that same feel. You know, it still got me up every morning. It gave me that energy to go out and put in work. And from that, 2001 brought me to where I am today.
And you still work with kids, though, don't you?
I still work with kids, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's, you know, it's amazing how kids are, you know. There's just so much in those kids, you know, so much potential. And all you have to do is bring it out of them, you know. You know, you just have to be the one to bring it out of them. You know, because they're willing to do whatever, you know, and it's like it's up to you as the coach to guide them in the direction they need to be, you know. And I always go back to my days of being 7 years old and getting the play wrong or doing something wrong, maybe getting a bad grade and my coach slapping me on the helmet and making me hug a tree. That yeah,
really?
Making me hug a tree. And
wow.
I know, it's like
very progressive.
It's like, what does all that mean? But I just remember those days like yesterday. You know, I just remember him vividly, you know, slap me on the helmet, go hug a tree. And those moments were, like, huge for me because, you know, they actually taught me so much, you know, growing up. You know, they taught me so much.
Well, it must be kind of entertaining for you when you watch, like, the Super Bowl's coming up. You know, your ex-peers and the commentary, I'm sure that's you kind of shake your head and roll your eyes a lot, I am sure.
Yeah, you know, the game has changed so much. You know, the game has just changed so much.
For example?
Well, mainly the contact. You know, it's like how protected the quarterback is. You know, when I was playing ball, it was like getting the quarterback was what it was all about. And not to hurt him, but to hurt him bad enough to where he was afraid to throw the ball or he was afraid to see you coming. You know, maybe just a nice hard hit to where every time he sees you, he's going to make a bad play because he knows you're coming, you know, or going at a linebacker or a defensive back or whatever the case, just going at them hard enough to where when they see you, they're going to back up a little bit or go the other direction. Now it's like, if you hit me, you're going to get a penalty. You know, these are how the guys are thinking now, because it's like the rules are just so touchy-feely that it's like you really just can't. You just can't play football like we're all grown, like we all know the game. You can't just go all out anymore. You have to think about what you're doing. And that was one of the good things about football, is because you always could just go all out. Put your helmet on, strap up, and go hit somebody. And that's what the game used to be.
Get some of your aggressions out. You had a crappy day? Let me take it out on number five.
Yeah, you know, just go out and hit someone, you know. And that used to be what it was all about. And if our coaches never said anything else, that was the one thing every school I've ever played for, every coach has always ever said, just go out, hit someone, and have fun.
And have fun. That's a bumper sticker.
I know, right? And that's, you know, that's just what we did. You know, we'd strap our helmets on, and we'd just go full speed and just make some contact. And that kind of took away the butterflies, and that took away all the nervousness. And once you made that first hit, it was just all good. And now you got to think about it. Now you got to say, okay, is he too high? You know, I got to hit him low. Helmet, you know, you just have to think too much, and you slow down too much, and you start making bad plays, and it just starts getting all bad, you know.
The dumbing down of America continues.
Yeah.
So any final thoughts for the Super Bowl coming up for the fans out there to look for?
You know, it's still interesting, you know. Carolina Panthers, you know, they're a team that I really like, and they're going up against the home team, you know. They're going up against the 49ers, so the winner of that game is who I look for to win the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah. I think the Panthers might pull it off, but then you just can't count out.
That last minute.
Yeah, you know, Kaepernick is just, you know, he's really playing some incredible football. And once he keeps his composure, he makes big plays. But then the same thing for the Panthers quarterback, Cam Newton, you know, same thing. So it's just really going to be a really good football game. And I think that it's going to be a defensive game. And I think that the team with the least mistakes is going to win, obviously. You know, the 49ers, every time I think about it, the 49ers just have such a potent offense. And it's just going to be hard to stop them, you know. It's just going to be hard to stop that offense, you know. They're just strong all the way around the board, so it's going to be a good game.
We'll all be biting our nails if we have any left.
Yeah.
Well, have a wonderful Super Bowl, and thanks for talking to me.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Well, we'll find out if he's correct. Now, as Singleton indicated, it can be tough changing careers after focusing on a single one for so long. Are you looking for something completely different? Here's a job that won't come up in career counseling. Nasal ranger. Yes, nasal. N-A-S-A-L. The position involves looking into odor complaints, which can range from kitchen to industrial. This long megaphone or old hair dryer looking device is called an olfactometer. It's held up over your nose, and the ranger sniffs to see if the odor violates city odor law. Denver, Colorado's nasal ranger will be kept even busier with their new legal marijuana passages. Anyway, check it out at nasalranger.com. Now, you can, of course, try the life coaching route. If you're already a veteran of life coaching efforts, coach or receiving, you might get a kick out of this funny video clip on YouTube. Stuff life coaches say funny. Every cliche, it seems like, that's being tossed out there nails it. So, do something different this week. Raise your flexibility to flexibility.